Modern Christian Dads, Season 2. We're about to explode. Just dudes talking news, sports, and God.
All right, I kicked it off with a retro song. Did you notice that, Greg Walden, Modern Christian Dads? That's what we used to be back in the day, and things changed. Now we're the Modern Christian Dudes. Dudes talking news, sports, and God. So that's what we do each and so always. The world is always turning as the world turns. That's the soap opera back in the day. The world's always turning. Exciting news happening. I'm going to kick it off with two different things. The first one's a good news, bad news. It's good news, bad news kind of thing. The first one, my man, GOAT James, LeBron James, he hits a milestone and he scores over 40,000 points for his career over the weekend.
Congratulations.
Amazing. LeBron James, he's already the all-time leading scorer in NBA history, for most points, that is. LeBron James continues to extend his NBA career to uncharted territory, reaching 40,000 career points Saturday night at Crypto.com Arena. James came to the Los Angeles Lakers game against the Denver Nuggets, 9 points, so he got the mark. And just, however you want to look at it, he's setting records that are going to be very, very difficult to reach. So no other active player has even... No other active player has even 30,000 career points in the NBA right now. That includes Kevin Durant, who many people say, he's the greatest scorer. He's got 28,000, all right? And so there's just nobody close, and he has set the bar so – even Steph Curry, who people – if I said to a lot of people, how many points do you think Steph Curry has total in his career? He's not even at 25,000 yet. So this is quite an achievement from my man, GOAT James.
Well, I'm glad he's able to hit those records. Somewhere down the road is going to eventually break it, but it'd be difficult. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you never know. Every record is
the only reason I think he's going to be a very unbreakable record is that guys are load managing. Yeah. So load management has become super popular in the NBA, meaning most guys don't even play 82 games or 70.
Right.
LeBron James has been a warrior, Iron Man in that regard. Yeah. So he's played a lot of games, hasn't taken a lot of time off, hasn't had significant injuries. So guys are load managing. And I don't know, in the future, they keep saying 82 games is too long. So are they going to decrease the number of games? Guys aren't, committed. You got to be committed to health. Yes. So guys are healthy and stronger than ever, but still you have to be committed to health to play that long.
Yeah.
AKA Tom Brady, et cetera. Not even Jordan. Jordan didn't last that long because he liked the cigars. He liked the wine and the whiskey and the gambling and all that kind of stuff. And even Jordan couldn't keep the body together there the last couple of years with the Wizards.
Yeah, it's a discipline. And if you get somebody that's in long enough and disciplined, just like he was, and is blessed with not being able to get hurt a lot, never know. So, every record eventually, gets broken.
If they add a 4-pointer, a 5-pointer, then guys start scoring more points. Anyway, that was LeBron James. So, I think he's trying to get one more chip, and I think he's just trying to stack those stats his last couple years here in the league to just blow it out of the ballpark. So,
he's a good player.
Might get 45 before he's all said and done. LeBron James, there we go, some sports news. I think he's the GOAT. I know people don't. I do have my son, Hezekiah, convinced that he's the GOAT, so... was going off the other day of how do people not think LeBron's not the greatest ever? It's that's right.
Son, everybody's got their favorite players. For whatever reason, they call them the favorite player. But as far as basketball, I like Larry Bird.
Yep, the Bird Man. Yeah, I love Larry Bird.
Yeah, he might not have 40,000 points. Sadly, he had that back injury.
Yep.
And I guess he got the back injury
from his driveway.
Doing a driveway. But
makes it more awesome, which gives me more respect that he was I'm going to fix my own driveway and do this myself. And good job to you, Larry Bird. So something I'd want to do. All right. So on maybe not bad news, kind of bad news in a sense, is I'm a big pro wrestling fan. We haven't talked a lot of pro wrestling since Kelly Stevens passed away from us there. And so I'm just kind of a loner now because I know you're not the biggest pro wrestling guy. So I never hear you. You're never firing off text messages or DMs talking pro wrestling to me, which is totally fine. But with that in mind, my all-time, speaking of GOATs, who I consider my personal GOAT of pro wrestling, Sting. That's my guy. Sting, right?
Yep.
The wrestler Sting. He just had his last match Sunday night and he has officially retired.
Oh, my goodness.
Sting's last match was...
He's been around for a long time.
Yeah, 40. He's 64, 5. I don't have it right directly in front of me. But he's been going since, 30-plus years.
Yeah, my favorite wrestler of all time is Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan. So Sting, and it was a tag team match, so it wasn't like solo. He's been in the All AEW, which stands for All Elite Wrestling, which is a newer company that started up in the past 5 years or so. Yeah. Has become a big company. It's on TV. It's got credibility. Has a billionaire owner. And so he partnered with Darby Allin, and they were the tag team champions of AEW. And he gets a dub on the way out. Kind of cool as he enters in. I'm a fan of Surfer Sting. They call it Surfer Sting, where it's more colorful and vibrant. Yeah. That's when I was a kid, Surfer Sting.
He had many different flavors of his character there.
Yeah, I thought Surfer Sting was so cool. And then he went to Crow Sting.
Yeah.
And then that's what he ended his career with. And I wanted him to go back to Surfer Sting so bad.
Yeah.
But the Crow Sting kind of came in the whole NWO, New World Order, yeah, when Hulk Hogan turned bad and Crow Sting came and saved the day. So Sting, had, and that's what I loved. I was always like the underdog. When it comes to pro wrestling, I was always the underdog guy. So I loved WCW more than WWE because I loved the smaller, a little bit smaller company. And I just love Sting because what I love about Sting is he never jumped ship. He stayed with WCW. You know, he could jump ship.
Yeah.
And he did go to the WWE, but it was short-lived because he did have a WrestleMania match. He is a Hall of Famer. They did induct him to the WWE Hall of Fame. He had a WrestleMania match versus Triple H, and Triple H has ego problems, so he beat Sting in that particular match, which was really stupid how that whole match unfolded. He gets an injury against Seth Rollins, but he then comes back and finishes it off in AEW, so he's able to finish off his story. The only other note I wanted to say on that was he has two sons that look pretty close like him. So as the entrance, one of his sons comes out as Surfer Sting, dressed like him, dyed hair with the flat top and all that kind of stuff. Then the other son comes out dressed as a Wolfpack Sting in the red and black.
Okay.
And then he comes out as Crow Sting.
Interesting.
And enters, and it was a crazy match. So I watched some of the highlights. I didn't pay for the pay-per-view on that one, but I'll catch what I can there on the old YouTube and stuff like that. I'm not going to buy the pay-per-view because it's like $60. So I'm sure I can get most of it for free on YouTube or something like that.
Yeah, you can always
check out the clips.
Yeah, watch on YouTube after the fact, you know.
Because as much as it's amazing he still is wrestling, you know, he's 60-some years old, so he's of the age where he can't stand alone in a singles match for 30 minutes kind of thing.
But that's still impressive to do that kind of physicality for that long. That's impressive.
Ric Flair came out and got beat up in the match.
Yeah, dude.
Then Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Came out and got super kicked in the face by the bad guys, the opposing team, so... Shout out to Sting, my favorite wrestler of all time, who is a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, awesome, by the way. Did get good. Saved. Yeah. So shout out to, he's a modern Christian dude, Sting Man. All right, there you go. That's my first two. Bouncing over to you, Funko Pro Greg Walden. Had to get those out of the way.
Awesome, man. Well, so my bad news, obviously, I did text you earlier. We had an officer, you know, the guy that went with us in Colorado back in 2016, Cody Allen. And Mike Murphy, but Cody Allen, they both were, at the time, they were Grandview police officers. I guess Cody had recently went to the transferred to the Independence Police Department about a couple years ago. Well, Thursday they were out, I guess there was they had a court reporter that was serving a eviction notice on a property. And that court reporter got shot. And then unfortunately he passed away, but the other court reporters, they get out and call for help. Officer Cody Allen, he was one of them that responded, one of the first people on the scene. And unfortunately, he went in to help get the guy out, you know, provide aid to the reporter guy. And he ended up getting shot and killed. So that's the sad news I have for the week. But definitely want to be praying for his family and friends and stuff. But, man, that was a shocker, man, because my brother told me about it. And I was like, oh, my gosh, dude, that was a kick in the pants. You know, I mean, I never really talked to him after we got back from the trip. Yeah. But still, you know, he still had the week with riding with him and, you know, all the time, you know, good times we had with him and stuff. And it's like, that's still like a kick in the pants, you know.
Right.
But definitely be praying for his family and friends and everything.
And it is. A couple weeks ago, I did a funeral for a young man that accidentally shot himself. Was an accidental shooting.
Oh, my.
Shot and killed. And, wow. We say it so flippantly sometimes, but you don't know if today's your last day.
Yeah.
Literally for all of us. And that's not even an age Yeah. Or a health thing. I mean, it can be those things. Obviously, if you're, you know, you're pushing 100 years old, you know that time's shorter than longer. You know that if you have a super severe disease, you know that you might be on your way out. But hey, death is no respecter of persons.
It's a life thing, you know.
It meets us all. It's 100% undefeated. We're all going to die.
Yep, 100%. And it's not really when, it's just a matter of if you're prepared. That's the main thing. Are you prepared? That's the main question for anybody, all of us. I mean, ultimately, that's the eternal question. Are you prepared?
Yep.
I mean, again, I don't know if Cody Allen was ready. You know, I don't know what his spiritual condition was, but I pray he was saved. I pray he was right with Jesus, and he's in heaven now. That's why I pray, you know.
Yep.
I don't know. But the ultimate question is that, you go through – many different people's stories. I mean, many different tragedies we've had, God knows when, you know, that person that woke up that morning, they had no idea that this was going to be their last day on earth.
Yeah.
No idea. Right. You know, it could be just a casual walk, going to work, yep, or this happened and all of a sudden gone. So the main question, and this is the reality, is are we ready?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad we don't know when we're going to die, but it's scary to think we don't know when we're going to die. Does that make sense? You know, it's like it'd probably be really weird to know, like, hey, God tells us, just to let you know, you're going to die on, you know, April 15th.
There's a lot of people ask, why doesn't God tell you? But think about it. As a sinner, if God told you, Jeremiah, you're going to die in, let's say, 2045. Well,
yeah, I think
you could party up.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'd just be like...
And I say you get right?
Yeah, I could burn all my money up until that point. I could, you know...
I mean, think about
one last vacation, flippant.
Yeah.
And then be like, yeah, hey, I read that story in the Bible where the guy just said the prayer, you know, of forgiveness at the last moment. Three guys on the cross, and he made it, right? So I can do that.
So so I'm just going to get in heaven by a technicality. I'm going to wait the last minute. Hey, I know it's my last day, and now I'll get right. But I think that your motive for getting right would be wrong at the time. You know, obviously you're not getting right because you love Jesus. You're getting right because you just want to cover your skin.
Yep.
So,
yeah. And we're hearing spiritual talk really, but it's like, you know, I have found that to be true as a pastor, and it really bothers me. And I'm not saying this comment over any person I've done a funeral before, but it is really scary that, you know, people that have died, you know, in that moment, then all of a sudden we try to create storylines that person was spiritual, knew the Lord, you know, those kind of things. And so, you know, I've done funerals where I don't know that person really knew Jesus and had a relationship with him.
I've been to funerals. And I mean, I've been to funerals for people that were really close to me, family members that are close to me, that I know stuff about. I know they were really close to me. They shared everything with me. And I was like, one person, I won't say who he is because obviously I respect for, because I do have people on here. But one person, I talked to him about Jesus a lot. And eventually he emailed me one time and says, stop talking to me about Jesus or I'm not going to be your friend anymore. Mm-hmm. Cut it off.
Wow.
So, you know, as a Christian, that's when you say, oh, you have to respect. Yeah. But mm-hmm. I mean, I still pray for him. But obviously if he says, knock it off, you know, it's what he wants.
Yeah.
He's made a decision. You can't force Jesus on somebody. If he doesn't want it, if he doesn't want Jesus, then you know, all you can do is pray for him.
And, yeah, exactly.
And he still emailed me all the time. Mm. And a week before, and my last email from him was a week before he died.
Yeah.
Never an email about Jesus. Never an email. About, never. Because trust me, if I know he found Jesus, I would have been the first person he told.
Yep. Never. Here's how I think you should live. And I don't have the Bible verse right in front of me, but here's how I think you should live your journey of faith. For right now, I'm a student, right? I'm in school, taking classes. And you really, to me, there's two options you have, okay? Number one is you could just do what is required just so you can pass the class, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I hate it. Like on some of you that might be students listening, I have this Canvas app and it shows your grades. So in kind of good and bad, you can click on this box and it's called the what if score.
Yeah.
So I can go through all my assignments. And then I could click like on, okay, if I get a 95 on this one, for example, total confession, my last class, I had like a 97, you know, up until the last paper. And then I hit I clicked the what if score, like just zero. You know, I wonder if I don't turn it in, if I could still pass.
Yeah.
Right. And I think so what I'm saying is like, sometimes we're just doing enough to get by. I'll just do enough to pass the class. But I've really tried in the program I'm in now. I've really tried, and I can't, you know, in one sense, I can't control my grades, but I have authentically read all the books. I've done all the work, and I've tried to do it with excellence.
Yeah.
I'm not just trying to get by. I'm really trying to do a good job. And I want to take that same attitude with my journey of faith and my relationship with Jesus. I want to be able to stand before him one day and say, I didn't just live my life just, you know,
right.
I tried to be a Christian just enough to know that I'd get in, but I want to stand before him and said, I literally did my best.
Well, I read the story where Christ will wipe the tears from our eyes. Probably the only time we ever have tears in heaven is right when we get there. And you realize, you know, we sit before, I mean, obviously as Christians, we're still going to, we go through the judgment seat of Christ, which isn't determined whether we go to heaven or not, but it's determined the rewards that we get in heaven. Mm. That he'll take our works that were done for the flesh, they'll be burned up in smoke, and what was done for God will be, you know, our works are thrown into the fire, and what was done for Christ will come out, and what was not done for Christ just will go up in smoke. Mm. And think about it,
fascinating thought.
One interpretation would be, is you will come to face to face with what you could have done for Christ had you obeyed versus what you actually did for Christ while you were alive. So you the difference between the two. And I think there's going to be a lot of crying because I didn't live up to my potential like God wanted me to because I obeyed my flesh instead of obeying God.
Yep.
Because, I mean, obviously, as Christians, we still live in our flesh. Our flesh, we fight the flesh every day. I mean, I fight my flesh. I'm sure you fight your flesh.
Absolutely.
Because your flesh doesn't want to do what God wants it to do. It wants to do what it wants to do.
Yep.
And you have to make a decision. Do I want to follow that flesh or do I want to follow God? And that's the decision we have to make every morning, every day.
Right.
So, obviously, there's times because we do fail, we follow our flesh, obviously. There's times we follow our flesh. If anybody says they never did, they're lying.
Yes.
Honestly, let's be truthful. Let's be truthful. There's times I follow my flesh.
Yep.
There's times I follow Jesus. My goal is I want to follow Jesus with everything, but I have to fight my flesh every time I do. So it's a constant battle we have with our flesh. So we get up in heaven, we see where the difference between where we could have what we could have done for Christ and what we actually did. See the difference. Obviously, it's going to break our hearts because we.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to break. Yeah, it should break your heart for what you could have done that you didn't do. The what ifs. And so,
yeah, I love this story. This was told to me by a pastor from New Jersey when I was on a missions trip to Chihuahua, Mexico. We were up in the Copper Canyon Mountains, and it was an outreach. It was a festival type event, and I was preaching. He was preaching, and there was a service going on because there's like multiple days with different services, etc. And so, anyway, we were kicking back, hanging out with each other, and he was probably I don't know 60, early 60s at the time, or whatever it might be. And he was, I love this story. I still love this story. I share it occasionally here and there. But he said, you know what? Someday when we get to heaven, there's going to be a big campfire. And we're all going to be gathered around the campfire. And there's going to be two circles. There's going to be a circle on the middle. And in that circle, that's going to be all the great men and women of faith. And they're going to be telling the stories of things that we did for the Lord and the works we did for God and all this kind of thing, right? He said, and then there's going to be an outside circle. Now on that outside circle, those are going to be people that made it, but they don't have any stories to tell about their journey of faith. And they're going to have to sit there and listen to our stories. I thought that's a cool story, a cool way to think about it, right? It's basically saying, not like, are you going to get in or not get into heaven? But basically, when you get to heaven, are you going to have stories to tell of a life that you lived for Jesus and the things you did for his name? I want to, basically it's like you want to be on the inner circle where you stood out, you stepped out in faith. You know, obviously the Bible's been written. Hebrews 11 is already done, but you're a Hebrews 11 kind of person, right? That God would say, man, look at this person of faith. Look at what they did. Look how they stepped out. Or do you want to be on the outside circle? Not that you didn't get in. You still have very many cool stories to tell.
Well, like the crowns, obviously people have different crowns. Like some people have more crowns than others. Their crowns are, like the different types of crowns and people get based on what they did, faithfulness on earth. And some people probably just get in by the hair of their chinny chin chin. I mean, they repented then about the last minute and they died, but they had no life. There's nothing in life that they'd done other than they did repent and get saved.
Yep.
And so, yeah, those are the hair of this chinny chin chin type, you know, getting into heaven. But they're still going to get into heaven. So, you know, but still, but I mean, I, you know, think about it. It's like, you know, as a Christian, obviously, if you've been saved for any period of time, I mean, your goal is to take people with you. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. I mean, it's why God, that's why my opinion, why God doesn't just rapture you right the moment you get saved, because there's work for you to do. He's got a plan, his plan for each of our lives. What is his plan? Ultimate plan? You go out, tell other people about Jesus.
Yes.
Lead other people to Jesus. That's the plan. Now, however God uses your talents to do it, but the ultimate goal is you go out and reach other people for Jesus, and you take people with you.
Yep.
That's why I believe he doesn't rapture you right when you get saved.
Right. And we want to use just all the opportunities that we can to share Christ. You know, I've heard that version of the story before, whether it happens or not. You know, we get to heaven someday and someone's going to come up to you and say, hey, you know, who are you? You know, oh, you were in Africa, you know, and you preached that one time, or, you know, it was like, whatever. I just stumbled across that podcast and you guys were talking about Jesus. And
you'd be shocked at how many people, you know, say if you led a couple people to Jesus, like, oh, I didn't lead that many people. You get to heaven, it was like 50,000 people, because those couple people went out and told, and you had that pyramid effect, and you didn't realize how much of an impact you had. I mean, obviously, you hope you lead more than just a couple people, but just use that for example. Yep. You don't know how many people you've influenced to become Christians, you know, based on your obedience to do what God wants you to do to reach other people for Jesus.
Yep, exactly. Well, I guess that's our spiritual talk for the day, but man, prayers for Cody, you said?
Cody
and his family, for his family.
Yeah.
And that wherever they might be at spiritually, that this opens up their heart and their eyes. And it's, you know, I don't know, I hate to be the bad guy or sound like a bad guy, but the other thing that can be a little bit bothersome sometimes when it comes to death is, you know, we can feel bad for a day or two or a week and consider God, but then that's, you know, kind of about it. You know, then we just kind of go back to life as normal. So I pray that people, when, you know, death or things like that, that they really consider Jesus in their life, and it's not just a feel bad, say a prayer, and then move on a week later kind of thing, but God really becomes considerably more in their life.
Yeah, I've read stories of, like, was this one funeral, like the pastor there basically preached a gospel message, and like people are like, that's not the place for it. I'm like, why isn't it?
Yeah.
Your face. Right. I mean, think about it. You're there. Everybody there is there, and they're looking at their face.
Yeah.
Well, you're at a funeral, you're really facing your own mortality.
Exactly.
Because, you know, one day, you know, you're going to be the star. You're going to be the star right there in the casket. You're facing your, what better time to tell the gospel than right there when people are facing their own mortality.
Right. So, man, where are you at spiritually? I hope you think about it today, you know, what's your life like? What you're doing? Do you know Jesus? Do you not know Jesus? And, do you know where you're going?
Well, I'm telling you right now, I've been thinking that since we were talking about about a couple weeks ago, we was talking about Noah, the story of Noah in Sunday school. And the story of Noah actually is very, like I said, I may have said this on the last podcast, but it's very relevant to today, because the Bible says in the end times, will be just like the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. Now, if you study the flood happened around, 1,600 years after creation, give or take, is around that time frame. And, you know, how many people were on the earth about 1,600 years, give or take, after the creation? I'm sure there's like maybe millions of them. But out of the millions of people that were on the face of the earth, only a handful were considered righteous to escape the judgment that God was going to do on the earth. That so many people were wicked. Only a handful of people were righteous.
Yeah.
I mean, in just the parallels you have from then to today, you see the Bible says in the days of Noah, the people were so wicked. I mean, the wickedness was on the mind all the time. I mean, they were just utterly wicked to the point God was actually sorry he even created man. And that's pretty bad. I mean, that's pretty. And now you have the same parallel you see in our society. Look at the wickedness you see in our society. I mean, it's some atrocious wickedness, what they want to do to your children, what they're pushing on your children, the society, and then the people approving it, and it's the whole shebang. And obviously we know Jesus is coming soon, the rapture is going to happen soon, and after the rapture, we know with the seven-year tribulation, which is God, one of the purposes of the tribulation is God's going to judge the wicked on this earth. Mm. And it's going to be such a judgment that's going to surpass the judgment that was done in the great flood. This is going to be such a, and again, it's probably not popular, not very comfortable teaching, probably not very comfortable subject, but it's true. It's in the Bible. You can read it. It's going to be a horrible time.
Yeah.
And so you see the parallels between Noah's flood and what we're living in now.
Yeah.
And so I just lost my train of thought. Oh my goodness. But anyways,
Joe, come back to us.
Come on. Hello.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least we can understand what you're saying. Yeah.
So yeah. So it's like, so it's the
Joe Biden joke from the day.
So it's the environment that we're living in today. And it's like, we, that's what, why the imperativeness, like I say, why we're ready, what, you know, that this, we're living in the last days. Jesus is coming back soon. Just like, it's like I've always heard people argue about when the rapture is. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we don't know what date the rapture is. That's only something like only God knows. But the fact is, if today was your last day and you died, what difference does it make if the rapture happens 2 hours from now, or two days from now? Or what's the state of your soul at the time you die?
Yeah.
Because again, the Bible says you're not guaranteed another day. Mm-hmm. None of us are.
Yeah. I think we should leave it there. You know, think about it, guys. It, you know, a guy, a police officer.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
Sorry. Once we finish, I'll.
Okay.
I forgot this.
Yeah. We got more stuff to talk about. It's just so, you know, somber, serious note to end on. But
what is the most redneck Missouri treat in the world?
Yes.
You got to know. Take a guess.
A
sour of the south. Missouri south.
Pecan pie. Oh, what are those called?
Moon pies.
Pecan log. A moon pie.
Yes. Blueberry moon pies, man.
Blueberry moon pie.
Yeah, new flavor.
We're going to eat those on the way out.
Awesome.
Dudes Talking News, Sports and God. We appreciate you guys. Listen, like, share, subscribe. Uncle Pro, Greg and Walden and I are going to go eat pizza. I don't know, something.
We can do Popeyes.
Talk to you next time.
Guys and ladies.